even as Derek shares.
Morning. So those who maybe don't know me, my name is Derek, one of the elders here serving on this team. And my lovely family, most of them are front here. My wife at the back there, Teresa. And, you know, when I look at my family, I don't only just see Matt and Kristen and Teresa and Timmy, but I see faithfulness and I see a gentleness and a kindness and I see a loveliness in my family. And it's always lovely to have them here because they serve in Stellenbosch congregation, serve in the Wellington PM congregation. So my family I hold quite lightly in my hand, but I hold them very tightly in my heart. And so it's lovely just to have them all here this morning. So this morning I'm going to be briefly sharing on following Jesus. And my journey with the Lord started nearly 47 years ago. It's a long time. I'm 53 years old, and I was about 6 years old when I can clearly remember the day that I responded to the gospel. And in actual fact, I went down to the front of an auditorium to find my father, and I found my father. It was an amazing experience for me. And if you can just put up Matthew 4, verse 18 to 20 there, Cassie, just for a moment. And I just want to highlight a few words in that scripture where Jesus, if you could just go to the 19th verse, let's just read from verse 18. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And we are all in a journey in life. I want to remind you this morning that our journey with Jesus is not a 100-meter sprint. It's actually a marathon. And for those 47 years for me, it's been a long marathon. And I continue to press onward to that which Christ Jesus has called me to. And what I want to focus on this morning in this journey is I want to show you that in the Christian walk of life, that there are different positions in your journey with Jesus. Something that I want to highlight that maybe you've never seen in the Gospels, you've never seen in the Scriptures, but this morning I'm going to show it to you, and when you see it, you're going to immediately recognize it. But there are about five positions that we find in the Gospels, and it's not clearly marked, but there are those little words in between. We start off where it says that they followed Jesus at a distance. That's your first position. And then, secondly, how they followed him from the crowd. And then, where they pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. And then, where they were invited to the table of the Lord. And finally, the journey ends where John actually puts his head on the chest of Jesus in the Last Supper. And you can see there's a progression in your life from following Christ at a distance, and slowly you're moving closer and closer and closer, and hopefully you're growing in that place to where you come to that place of intimacy with Jesus, and you can hear his heartbeat, and you can hear his voice. And so if we look at the scripture just to see where they followed Jesus at a distance, if you look at Luke 22, verse 47 to 54, Luke chapter 22, verse 47 to 54. While he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this," and he touched his ear and he healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple and the elders who had come out against him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and a club? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And then we see the words, "And Peter was following at a distance." And oftentimes in our walk with the Lord Jesus, we follow at a distance. And Peter here in this specific scripture was falling at a distance because he did not want to be found publicly with the Lord. It was that time around when they'd come to arrest Jesus, to crucify him, and Peter was at a distance. It was just before he was to deny Jesus. It was at that point where Jesus says, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. And oftentimes in our walk with the Lord Jesus, we find that we've maybe grown cold in our hearts, or we've become a little bit distanced from Jesus. There's a distance that forms between us and Jesus. And we start to follow Jesus at a distance. And who knows, as you know, if you follow at a distance, you don't see clearly. Am I right? It's not that you can see Jesus clearly. You're not following him. You're just at a distance with him. And this is a place where often you're facing fears in your life, where your faith starts to waver, and you are wondering in your life, is my life in the right position? Am I following Christ at a distance? And then secondly, we start to see and we start to look in the Gospels at the crowds that formed around Jesus. And if you look at the crowds that formed around Jesus, we see this in Luke chapter 14, verse 25. It just says that there were large crowds that were going along with him. There were large crowds. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 24 as well, we see, and he went off with him, and a large crowd followed him. In some of the versions, you'll see a large multitude. And often when you look at the crowds that followed Jesus, you will start to see that the people, let me just get my notes falling down here. That people that followed Jesus in the crowd or from the position of the crowd were often there because they were looking for the hand of the Lord. They weren't looking for the face of Jesus. Oftentimes people seek the hand of the Lord. In other words, Lord, bless me. Lord, heal me. Lord, provide for me. And they were often following Jesus because Jesus was multiplying the food. There were miracles taking place. And so their motive in following Jesus wasn't to see the face of Jesus, but was the provision of the Lord. And sometimes we find in our lives when we follow Jesus from the crowd and we're in the crowd and we position ourselves in the crowd, that we sometimes have to check the motives of our heart as to why do we follow Jesus? And are we following him for what he can do for us? Or are we following him because of who he is? And you know, there are at least 34 scriptures in the gospel where it talks about the crowds that follow Jesus. And so my question to us this morning, are we just following Jesus from the crowd? And there's something that happens in the crowd, and I want to spend a little bit of time here just to show you that in the crowd there are certain things that happen. If you've ever been to a large rugby match or a large event and there's lots of crowds and you are following in a crowd, you will notice that in the crowd there's a lot of pushing. There's a lot of jostling for position. And often your toes are stepped upon. And often you get hurt. And often you get easily offended. And so you will find in the crowd, when you're following in a crowd, at times people are bumping up against you. They bump against you. And it's an uncomfortable place because you're in that place where you're surrounded by people and you're being bumped into, you've been jostled against, and oftentimes you get hurt. And oftentimes in this place, you find yourself offended because people are stepping on your toes. And wie weet dit nie lekker as mense op jou tone trap nie. It's not a nice thing when people are stepping on you and you feel stepped on. And especially when you stepped on for the third or fourth time, you feel aina, you feel seer. And so often in the crowd, you'll find it's the place where you get bumped and stepped on and hurt. Something else is interesting to find in the crowd, if we look at Luke chapter 19, verse 39, there's a special group of people that we find in the crowd. Luke chapter 19, verse 39. Are we there? Verse 39. Are we there? 39, Kaz? Verse 39, Luke 19:39. There's a special group of people that we'll find in the crowd. And it says over there, and some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And often in the crowd, we find Pharisees. And this is something that we've got to look out for in our life, is that we don't find ourselves in this position. Because the Pharisees were people that were self-righteous. They believed in the righteousness of their own. And they were often people that were offended. You find in Luke chapter 4, verse 28, when Jesus preached his first sermon out of the book of Isaiah, that the Pharisees were so offended by what Jesus had to say that they tried to drag him out of the city and throw him over a hill. And often in the crowds, you find this person, the Pharisee. And the Pharisee is someone who believes their position or their opinion is always right. They're immovable in their position. Ek is reg and my opinion is reg and wat ek glo is reg. There's no room made or allowance made for other people's views and opinions. Often in the Pharisee, you'll find that the truth offends. And often if you find that the truth offends, then you can be sure that you're dealing with a problem of self-righteousness and your view. If the truth always offends you, you'll find this position of self-righteousness and the truth that offends. Also, in the crowd of people that follow Jesus, you'll often find carnal Christians. Carnal Christians are those that are continually yielding to themselves and to their views. And they yield to the flesh. They're not people that are led by the Spirit. They're often stubborn and they are critical. They know very little about the Word of God. But they feel like they know a lot. So hopefully there are not too many of you people in the crowd this morning. But I want to show you this position of who do you find in the crowd are following Jesus. Normally these people that are stubborn and critical are found in the church. They are people that often said, "Man, if you could just make me an elder, I'd do a better job. Or if I could just be a deacon or a place of authority, then I would be able to do a better job." And these people spend years in the crowd and they never ever progress. They never progress from this place. And so some people and some of us follow Christ from the crowd. But I want you to know that it's a journey this morning. We're following Jesus from a distance and slowly we're progressing closer. And now we're in the crowd and we find ourselves in this crowd. We find us in this position where we find our hearts oftentimes critical, oftentimes offended, oftentimes hurt by people. But there is the third position that I want to look at the morning. And this is the place of where we press through the crowd in our walk with the Lord Jesus. And in pressing through the crowd, it's a place of you need to position yourself. And I just want to, for a moment, just look at the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, verse 27 to 28. The woman with the issue of blood. Mark chapter 5, verse 27 to 28. So this woman had an issue of blood. She had a disease. She'd spent most of her income and her livelihood on trying to find help from the doctors. And Jesus was obviously coming through a region. And she had heard the reports about Jesus. And she came up behind him in the crowd and she touched the hem of his garment or touched the hem of his garment. And so to move from the crowd in your pursuit of coming face to face with Jesus, you often have to press through the crowd. It's a place of also uncomfortableness, but it's coming out of and it's pressing through and it's laying hold of Jesus and laying hold of the hem of the garment. And you can notice the person in the crowd has to press through because they are needing healing. And often in our lives when we are hurt and we're offended and we've been bruised by life and people around, we have to get to the position where we will press through the crowd, we will press through our hurts, and that we will touch the hem of the garment, and that we'll actually touch Jesus, and that the life of Jesus can flow in and through us. The place of pressing through the crowd is the place of faith. It requires faith and a believing to press through and to believe that when you touch Jesus, that Jesus will heal you. The second
person that I want to look that pressed through the crowd and repossessed himself was the person of Zacchaeus. And we read this in Luke chapter 19, verse 3 to 5. Luke 19, verse 3 to 5. There it says. So this was Zacchaeus, and we know Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And Zacchaeus was of a very short stature, so he was a little guy. And obviously when the multitudes and the crowds that were surrounded Jesus, it was difficult for Zacchaeus to see Jesus. And often when you're found in the crowd in life, your vision of Jesus is blurred because of what you're experiencing in that position. And over here we see he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he is about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up to him and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So it's interesting to see that when you're in the crowd, you often have to reposition yourself. If you want to see Jesus, you've got to come out of the crowd. You've got to go and find your tree. You've got to climb up higher. In other words, you've got to come from a position of lowliness and you've got to come up to a position of height where you can see Jesus. It was only once Zacchaeus had repositioned himself to see Christ and to see Jesus that Jesus invited him to his house to sit at his table. And when Jesus came into his house and sat down at the table with Zacchaeus, and they started to have a meal together, you can slowly start to see the progression in your walk with the Lord Jesus. You're starting to see that he's moving towards that place of intimacy with the Lord Jesus. And at the table of the Lord, it's something that is interesting over there, what he's experienced over there. We see in the scriptures that Jesus says that he is the bread of heaven. And it's at the place where Jesus breaks of himself and feeds of himself, and those that are fed from him are receive strength and receive sustenance. And so when you have to reposition yourself in your life and you have to climb up and you get invited by Jesus to the table, it's at this place that you start to feed from the Lord Jesus. And so often I hear people talking about they read their Bible, and there's nothing wrong with saying I read my Bible, but there's a difference when you break the bread of heaven and you eat him and you partake of him and he becomes part of you. And so at the table of the Lord is where we find that position and that place where we start to feed from Jesus. And the scripture talks about, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so this morning, is this where you find yourself feasting at the table of the Lord? Is this where you find your life, where you've journeyed from your being distanced and you're slowly but surely progressing? You're coming out of the crowd. You're repositioning yourself to see Jesus. And now you're sitting at the table of the Lord and you're eating from the Lord. It's at the table that you come face to face with the Master. It's at the table that you come face to face with truth. And I really trust and pray that when you spend time with the Lord Jesus and you spend time in the Word, that you will create a desire within you to love truth and to know truth. It's a place of the love of God's Word that grips your heart and you begin to see Jesus for who he really is. There's a final position this morning that we want to look at. And that's the place where you've now been at the table of the Lord. You've eaten of the Lord. You've digested him. And he started to sustain your spirit. And you start to see God. That we take you to the place where John found himself. And if we look at this, we find this in John chapter 13, verse 23 to verse 25. John chapter 13, verse 23 to 25. It says, one of his disciples, which is John, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at the table and close to Jesus. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus, of whom was he speaking? So that the disciple leaning back against Jesus said to him, Lord, who is it? And this is the Last Supper. This is where Jesus is sitting with his disciples. And the disciples were there. There were 12 of them. But there was only one who was John, who was positioned right next to the Lord Jesus. And he was sitting in that place where he was leaning against Jesus. And he was putting his head on the chest of Jesus. And it's the place where you put your head down and you can hear the heartbeat of Jesus. You know what he loves and you know what he hates. And you hear his voice and his voice speaks to you. It's the place of intimacy in your journey with Jesus. It's the place where you've journeyed to find the heartbeat of God and to find the heartbeat of the Master and to follow him, because you can hear and you are sensitive to his voice. Hearing the voice of Jesus is something that should be paramount in your life. It's something that should be of the most and utmost importance, is to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus. It's the place of fellowship with Jesus. It's the place where you start to build a fellowship and a friendship with Jesus. I was one day in my house and I was praying, and I found myself praying this very unusual and odd prayer. It was a very short prayer. But shortly after I prayed it, I kind of figured out that Paul had prayed the same thing. And all I prayed was this. I said, Lord Jesus, one day when I get to heaven, I pray that you will not be a stranger to me. I want to know and learn to know Jesus and be acquainted with Jesus this side of the veil. It's this side of the veil that requires faith in knowing Jesus, this side of the veil. Once you've passed through the veil and you're face to face with the Lord Jesus one day, you're not going to need faith anymore to believe. You will see him face to face. It's this side of the veil that you can learn to become acquainted with the Lord Jesus. And I want to encourage you this morning, in your faith and your walk with the Lord Jesus, learn to pray those prayers. Say, Lord, that I may know you. That's what Paul prayed. That I may know you and the power of your resurrection. The place of hearing the voice of Jesus, just hearing his heartbeat, and he guides you and he leads you into everything that God has planned and purposed for you in your life. And so for me, in my walk with the Lord Jesus over the last 47 years, what's become important to me is to know and hear his voice. And I want to clearly point out to you that you do not hear Jesus at a distance. In actual fact, you will not hear him in the crowd. There's just too many people. There's too much happening and there's too much going on. And when you start to press through the crowd, when you start to find yourself at the table of the Lord, you will start to hear his voice. And you'll start to hear his word, because you'll start to feed on his word. But it's only at the place where you put your head on his chest where you'll find his heartbeat. You will not find his heartbeat anywhere else in your journey. Anywhere else in your journey, you will not find his heartbeat. You will only find it in the quiet and secret place. And as Skalk was just saying early on in the service, as we prepare ourselves for holiday, often it's that time of year where we become consumed with what we do and the fun that we have and all the things that we want to do. But I want to encourage us, each and every one of us, to find that place where we're sitting and hearing the voice of Jesus. Amen. So, quickly, just to wrap up this morning, we have a short service this morning. It's not a long one. But I'm sure when you sit and you hear me talk about the different positions in following Jesus, this marathon of life that we're on, I'm sure you find yourself and you can reflect on your life and you can think, this is where I am. This is where I am in my position with the Lord Jesus this morning. I'm sure one of those positions are going to talk to you. One of those positions where you say, my goodness, I'm finding myself right now where I'm distanced. Maybe you're finding that place where you're hurt and offended because people have hurt you and offended you. Maybe you're finding yourself in that place where in the sweet spot where you're reading God's word and you're eating and you're digesting of the Lord Jesus and you're being strengthened. And maybe you're finding yourself right there on the chest of Jesus and hearing his voice. And that's what I want to encourage us with this morning, as a church this morning, is to find ourselves in that place and to journey from that place to where we can hear the voice of Jesus. Amen? Amen. I wonder if we could just bow our heads for a moment. Our Father, thank you. You know, when we gather like this as a church, I don't always just assume that everybody that sits over here actually knows the Lord Jesus. Some of us are at that place where we may be just curious and we're looking in at a distance. We're following Jesus. We've heard friends and we've seen friends follow Jesus and we've heard about following Jesus, but we ourselves have not journeyed close to that place of where the Lord Jesus' heart is and to be able to hear his heart and to hear his voice and his heartbeat. And so this morning, I just want to ask if you're at a distance and you maybe don't know Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity this morning. I want to briefly give you that opportunity this morning where you identify yourself in that place. And if there's anybody like that this morning that finds yourself in that place, you're wanting to follow Christ, you're wanting to see him, you're seeing him from a distance, but it's not a place from friendship and fellowship and intimacy. It's not a place of hearing his voice. I wonder if you'd be that courageous if you've never given your life. Is there anybody over here that needs to draw closer to Jesus this morning? Then maybe needs to meet him for the first time. I wonder if that is you, that you could take this moment and just raise your hand for me that I can see you this morning. Is there anybody like that in this congregation this morning that just feels they need to draw closer to Christ? They need to know him. And they don't know him. Let's give a brief moment. Okay. And I assume that all of us over here know him. I wonder if we can stand for a moment. Let's just stand. I'd like to, just while the band comes up to play, I would like to just give the opportunity for those who are possibly struggling in their journey with the Lord Jesus. You may be struggling this morning in following Christ. There's struggles in your heart and you want prayer and you'd like us to pray. While we sing a song of worship, I'd like to give you that opportunity that I would love to pray with you afterwards, once we've gone through that song of worship. I'd like to invite you and say, let's pray together. Let's ask the Lord to have you fix your eyes on him, to come out of the crowd, to reposition yourself, and to be invited to the table of the Lord. Amen. I wonder if you could just lead us in a song of worship, Maurice.